Oh boy. We had a barn burner. Stage 20, Giro d'Italia, the 106th Giro, Tarvisio to Monte Lucari, 18.6 kilometers, about 11 kilometers of, I wouldn't call it flat, but it wasn't climby. They used time trial bikes, then 7 kilometers of some serious climbing, like, what did they say here? Seven kilometers, 7 point something kilometers at like 12, 13%. It was something ridiculous. Welcome everybody. Tyler Yonke, Between Two Wheels podcast, episode 286. We're flying along here, two to go for the finish off the Giro. And I don't know how you feel about time trials. Time trials in the Tour or whatever, they, and bike racing, send them off in reverse order of where you are or overall general classification. This one, they did it in three waves. And so they did like wave one, you know, the last guys in general classification. And then they had like an hour plus, hour and a half break. Then wave two, and then they had like another hour break, and then wave three. And the reason for that is they couldn't have cars on the top. So they had to get the, and it would follow, it was motorbikes following them. They do a change somewhere before the first time check. It was all drone footage covering the race as they went up the climbs. Pretty good. I didn't see any big issues. Well, you know, no bike wrecks, no real big. Well, I mean, they had a mechanical. We'll talk about that. No one run into the barriers as they're coming up to the finish, because it was kind of sketchy there too. No bad exchanges as far as, you know, some people did some weird things. I saw Amarail. It looked like he was pushing off the guy that was pushing him, because you get one bike, you get a mechanic, but he was actually taking off his hood, his visor, and handing it back to the guy at the time. So let's get right to it. Let's get to the breakdown in the, oh, there's a João Almeida waving goodbye. That's quite the look he's got here. Okay, so I mean, we saw a little pretense of things to come yesterday with Roglic and his one by. And I told you I had some, there's some problems you have with, I've seen some one by situations, which is, and I'm, my understanding, I don't do much gravel stuff though, it's kind of like a gravel setup, but there's no, I don't think they have a derailleur in the front. You just hope that the chain stays on. And the thing that the derailleur works well with, even though you have, you know, the upper and lower chain rings there, when you have, when you're going over bumps and stuff, the chain pops up, it doesn't fall off because the derailleur keeps it going there. So that's one aspect, and we saw it yesterday, and it did come into play. So the gorgeous day, I mean, this, they couldn't have handled it was better. It was warm, there was salt coming off of some of the riders for the top of this climb. There's, it looks like, I don't know if that's, is that Roglic's? Maybe it is. I don't know. They all had some pretty nifty gears going on today. Big crowds. They're really close to Slovenia, so therefore the Slovenians, I guess, came out in full force, hoping for Roglic not to get bombed like he did with Pogacar. They go through this little valley, then they snake their way up this ridiculous climb, and you can see the profile there. And we'll talk about the time checks. There's some really interesting little data you can get from there. Early on, though, Matthew Riccatello. So they had Champion for Cofidis, had kind of had the initial splits. He was in the lead to begin with. Then Matthew Riccatello comes along, and he didn't do a good first, not bad first portion. As far as like time checks, you can see where he is on the first time check, which is they swapped the bike, and then there was a few kilometers before they started right at the base of the climb. They hit that. They were still had a little bit of flat. They were going on the road bikes though. And anyway, Riccatello screams up the climb, and he gets the fastest time coming up to the finish, and it's held until Jay Vine comes through and beats him out by just a few seconds. So Riccatello got to hang out in the, and by the way, he was in wave two. So he does wave two. He gets the best time. Then he has his hour sitting there. He's eating. And I thought it was great. Most people don't really probably want to be sitting there if they're not going to win. I mean, it's nice to get on TV, but tomorrow's the race is over. So for him, he's at the top of the mountain. The camera's on him all the time. I thought it was a great thing for the American young kid. First Grand Tour he's doing, but Jay Vine comes over, snips him. And then you have McNulty coming in right after. Now, by the way, back up just a little bit. Will Barta did a decent time. He was hitting the first time checks. Then Riccatello comes in. He's doing good. Joe Dombrowski puts up a good time. You've got like Riccitiello, Dombrowski up there. Then McNulty comes, clips Jay Vine and takes the lead. So now he's in the lead. So you've got American McNulty, then an Australian, then Riccitiello, American. You've got Dombrowski, and it was like 1-3-6. So they were spreading themselves pretty good. And then Sepp Kuss comes in, and he blows it. And he puts it on, well, barely. Or does he? Yeah, a few seconds. Yeah, 2 seconds over the McNulty time. So he now is in the lead. I will go through kind of the breakdowns because I thought it was interesting what Sepp did as far as the first time check. He was about 30 seconds up, and we're going to kind of exclude Roglic and Garin Thomas from some of this, but he's about 30 seconds off of, it's like 13 minutes, what I think was the time, or 11 minutes. I'm trying to remember what, I'll pull those exact numbers up, but he's like 30 seconds off from those. And then he screams past from the first time check to the finish. He ends up doing a really good one. There were some weird numbers on the second time check. He came through, and when you look at the thing, it's like, oh, he's 43 seconds off of McNulty, but he was actually 3 seconds or 18 seconds, I think, ahead of him. The second time check, or the third time check, he's now 2 seconds ahead of McNulty, and at the finish, he's 2 seconds ahead of McNulty. So there was, and I think it was either some weird timing, because Amarell comes through, Bruno Amarell comes through the third or the second time check, and suddenly it says he's a minute up on everybody. And I'm like, whoa, this is crazy. A big guy like that, I mean, he's a good time trialer. And then all of a sudden that got removed. Matter of fact, if you go to Cycling News, they still have him like 30 seconds faster at, or 11 seconds, I think, faster at the second time check over Roglic, which is wrong. So by the way, we saw yesterday, I talked about it yesterday, where Garin Thomas was indicating how Sepp Kuss and Roglic, when they were riding, trying to drop him on stage 18, was it? That they were doing surging. There was a lot of this, a lot of back, kind of 10 seconds on, 10 seconds off, and it wasn't getting him. But that's, in climbers can do that more herky-jerky stuff. Then there was talk this morning, some people were talking to Adam Blythe of GCN, and they were saying, hey, this is surgy road. It's really hard to keep rhythm. And immediately you're like, oh, okay, well, you know, you're looking at advantages of Roglic over Thomas. That's definitely a Roglic type of thing, in and out of the saddle, punchier type of thing. He spins a lot more. It's easier. Thomas is a diesel. He can go, but he prefers that metronome type of thing. Anyway, Sepp Kuss comes in here, does a good time. He had this, the regular helmet the whole time. I don't know what this shirt thing is going on, the Jalameda's pulling out there, the kind of the Freddy Krueger look going on. Fist bumps, I guess, for Roglic and Garin Thomas. They're both in their TT bikes. Everything's looking good. Roglic has his laser helmet. Now, we didn't see the exchange. So Roglic comes through on the bike exchange. He does pretty quick. No problem. Boom, boom, boom. Santiago de Butero, he had dropped a chain on the time trial bike. There was some weirdness there. I think he was fine coming through. There was another guy that decided to change his helmet. Garin Thomas does that. Puts his bike, and he just stands there, gets a new helmet, and he's got no panic in him at all. So he just take, I think it's like 7 seconds, and he's just, whatever, I'm gonna get a regular helmet, gets on his bike, and then we proceed from there. But they were all fairly close at the time checks, and I will go break those time checks down. Like I said, okay, here it is. So they come through this time check.
Hey, the ghost.
I'm sorry, I don't want to get struck here. Comes up, drops his bike. There he goes. Drops his helmet. Puts on his other one, takes his time, snip, snip, and then he takes off. Okay, it was crazy. It was like, what are you doing? It seemed a little panic-like. In the end, Roglic riding well. He's getting few. And by the way, there was, I'm trying to remember the tour, the Giro, 2018. Dumoulin wins it and comes into the final time trial. It's a flat time trial, but in pink is Quintana, okay? So Quintana's in pink, and what's his name? Dumoulin's got a leap over him. And the whole time, they're having a comparison of the two, where they are on positions and the time. You've seen this a lot. I don't know if it was due to the bike change, if they had a little more trouble with the transponders not to be able to do this, but they didn't do this very much. They came through. They're like, oh, now they're like 4 seconds, 2 seconds. Then it was four. Then it was close to 10, 15. up mid, we have to climb. Now look, you got Thomas here. He's already got salt coming off him, so it was a nice warm day. But he's looking, and by the way, I noticed right away, I'm like, he's standing up on times when I just didn't think it would be, he should be. Now the time check was pretty close to begin with. Okay. Near up the top, Tebow comes over. He ends up kicking out, Sepp Kuss from the top spot by like 6 seconds. He had beat him to time check one, basically on the flat stuff, by about 15, 20 seconds. So he didn't have as quick a climb, but he had a decent enough climb. Roglic come blazing around. This is the section that threw everybody. So he's up by about 15, 16 seconds. He comes across this little ditch. See if we can find the ditch part here. There it is. And his chain comes off, slips it, chain comes off. And then what you have is there's the guy on the motorbike behind him, his mechanic, comes up with a spare bike. Like, hey, let's look at his teammates. Oh no. And I think that's Cohen Bowman. He actually stands up and these guys are just like beside themselves. So he dropped, there's a few seconds changed here that could have been faster, which is if the mechanic, because Roglic immediately put his chain back on himself. That's the easiness of the one by. You don't have to try to get over it. He just put it right on. And his mechanic could have just started pushing him because they tried to, are you going to exchange it? What's going to go on here? But push them off and you're going, maybe he's going to lose this race with a 1 by 16 second mistake. I don't know, trying to make a joke there with a 1 by. Caruso, meanwhile, had been timing dead on with Sepp Kuss at the second time checks. Comes through, gets a he overtakes then Thibaut Pinot. João Almeida also exact same time as with Sepp Kuss, but then ends up leapfrogging Caruso. But then Roglic, he comes up to the time checks were a little bit odd as far as coming through. And the third time check was really close to the finish. Couldn't quite really get what that is. But all of a sudden they did a check of the two of Thomas and Roglic kind of on the road virtual. And he was close to 40 seconds. He only needed 26 coming into this, but it was immediately 40 seconds. And he barnstormed this last bit. Did a little sprint up to the finish, ends up getting, let's see how many seconds it is over João. 42 seconds over João Almeida, or is it, I don't know. No, I can't really read what that is. João says, bye-bye. Anyway, then you've got Thomas down below. He does appear to be laboring a bit more, and you can immediately tell kind of when he comes in that last, 800 meters or so that he was not going to get it, comes up to the line, and he misses it out. What is that? 40 seconds or so there. And we'll do the full breakdown. So the team now goes from crying to hugging, all happy, a little different than they had on a Planche de Belfi. And we'll look at that as well. So Primoz Roglic, 40 seconds over Garrett, 42 over João, 55 over Caruso, Thibaut Pinot, 59 seconds there. And then you get a little Americans going 105 to Sepp, 107 to Brandon. Arensman goes 118 for Ineos. Luke Nason, 149, Jay Vine, 153. And then you got some more Americans right behind Jay Vines here. So solid stuff. Let's see if they do the overall general classification. Primoz, 14-second win over Garrett Thomas. João Almeida, 115. Damiano Caruso, 440. Thibaut Pinot moves up. I mean, Eddie Dunbar, remember just the other day, two stages or so to go, the last two, he was fourth place, but he dropped more today. Aronson moves up. Thibaut Pinot moves up. Was he getting the mountain jersey? What was he trying to do there? Leonard Kamna, De Plus. So Ineos puts three guys there in the top 10. Makes you wonder a little bit about strategy-wise, where they're able to actually put three guys into the top. I don't know. Should they have waited? That's tomorrow's stage. It's going to be flat, probably fairly easy for sprinter day. Definitely. Okay, let's take some comments here, and then I've got some breakdowns to do. Victor says, awesome, Jewel. Cycling coverage. Thank you, buddy. Thomas looked like a sloth with his bike change. His bike change was I didn't really care who won. I was pulling for Roglic more just for the Sepp Kuss thing, but and kind of a redemption thing from Planche de Belfi. But I was like yelling, what are you doing? It blew me away. Now, let's take a look at some of these time checks, because I think at the time I looked at it and I'm like, okay, maybe not so bad of an issue. So Rider 1 time checks. Okay, so they go through the time check. This is time check 1 is just after they do the bike change. They do the bike change, and it's a little bit after that. And you can see here, Roglic is only up 2 seconds from Geraint Thomas. So if he took 7 seconds to change his bike, additional 7 seconds, I think that's what I heard someone say, he actually, without that little helmet fiasco, Thomas probably would have come through segment 1 here in the lead. And you're like, you've got 26 seconds. It's not that, it shouldn't be that big a deal. And then you should be able to hold on to the climb, unless the race gets really tight at the end, okay? So that could be something you want to worry about. But my point on that is, it shouldn't have been detrimental. And he's thinking, look, this is more advantageous. And you saw the salt coming off of him. So he did say he was having a bad day. Now, I also want to take a look at a few other things. João Almeida, he's right up there with them on that. Caruso, 7 seconds. Jay Vine, he's 11 seconds back. McNulty, 17. But look here, Sepp Kuss, 38 seconds. And this is kind of what I was talking about. Kuss is back here with Healy, Felipe Lozana, Butrago, Lawrence de Plus. I mean, he's 27. You know that's 29. That's 9 seconds slower for Sepp. Arensman, he's at 22. So for the most part, because Will Barta was kind of setting, or Brandon McNulty actually was setting the time close to the 14 minute set, right at 14 minutes. And then the top four just kind of came through a little bit faster. So the 14 minute segment here with Jay Vine and then Sepp Kuss is 14:27. You know, it's almost 30 seconds off of these guys that he has got to then. Remember him, João, and Thibaut. They were all, and Caruso actually at the last time check, they were dead even. Okay. Go to time check 2. This is where, okay, now he's up 16 seconds. And I do have a breakdown of kind of the times for each little section coming through of how they've done here. Sepp Kuss, 32. So he's dead. Sepp here puts the same time as Caruso and Almeida on the second time check, a little behind Pino. And Kuss was up on... Where is McNulty? McNulty. So he is, 18 seconds better than McNulty at time check 2, okay? And then we'll get to some of these others. I just kind of want to break through Sepp Kuss. So then from time check 2 to time check 3, Sepp Kuss is only up 2 seconds on McNulty. So if that time check is correct there, and I said there was a question because Amra at one point had a minute better time than Sepp Kuss. When Sepp Kuss actually came through on TV, a time check 2, they said he was 43 seconds slower than McNulty. So there's some weirdness, but hopefully, and by the way, stage 1, remember they gave the mountain jersey to, I'm trying to remember who it was, but he didn't actually get it because the timing was completely wrong. Time check 3, Roglic here, Sepp Kuss, 2 seconds better than McNulty, 2 seconds slower than Pinot, 3, 4, 5, so 7, then Caruso, Almeida is extending it out here. So Sepp is losing it to these guys between time check 2 and time check 3, which you can see there too. He was up on, 18 seconds up on McNulty, so he lost his time. Time check 2, time check 3, and you can see even at the finish, he didn't quite have some things there. Okay, so now let's back up again. Take a look at Roglic. Take a look at Thomas. On the time checks here, though, time check 2, Roglic is... I mean, Thomas, I don't know that he necessarily underperformed. He didn't perform to maybe Thomas's standards, but you look back at Planche de Belfi, and we'll look at those times again. I don't know if you remember, Pogacar... It's 30-some kilometer time trial. The climb wasn't as bad. It's a little more flat in the beginning. But he puts 130 or so, 120, 130 on Wout or on Dumoulin, but then almost 2 minutes on Roglic. That doesn't happen here today. As a matter of fact, at the finish, you have Thomas. He's second place, and he's right up there with João. He's right up there with everybody. But Roglic performed extraordinarily well. Now, how much time did he lose with the mechanical? We don't know, but it played a part. Time check 2 here, he's up 16 seconds on Thomas, and between 2 and 3 is where he has the mechanical, yet he goes to almost 30 seconds between there. I don't know if there was a boost of adrenaline from that happening, probably to the last. Okay, I do want to bring up, this is a guy that's on Twitter. He does all kinds of crazy stuff here. Okay, so smallest gains, marginal TT. And that's, is that the one I want here? Okay, we can take a look at that. But here I thought this would be a breakdown. Okay, so between the start to time check one, Roglic 13:49, Thomas 13:51, 2 seconds. We talked about that. They maybe lost 7 seconds within that spot there. Between time check two to time check one to two, Roglic gains another 14 seconds. Now he's 16 seconds up. He gains between two and three, 13 seconds. That was a big gap between those two checks there. Well, you can actually see one to two. That was the 20 minute. That was the bigger one. And he only gets 14, but then it gets steeper at the top. 8 minutes here of this one, he actually gains another 13 seconds. And then 2 minutes, he gains another 11 seconds. So he the last little bit, Thomas was just dying as he's coming into this. I thought it was also interesting to see, here we go. So this is from time check one to the finish. Okay. They do basically the climb. Roglic puts in a 30:34, Sepp Kuss a 31:01. That's great. I mean, that's confirmation there of Sepp's brilliant ride. One of the worst, you could look at the time checks, one of the worst, it wasn't that bad actually, 30 seconds off in the first 11 kilometers on the flat stuff there, but he loses that 30, almost a minute or so. Let's actually take a look. How far back was he to, on the first time check? He is 38 seconds. So he loses 38 seconds to Roglic. And then on the overall, that's really all he loses. So, he loses another 30 seconds on the climb. There you go. That makes sense. So, Riccatello. I mean, look at this. This is really pretty cool. Sepp Kuss, second fastest on the climb. He had McNulty down here, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7th, 8th for Riccatello. So three Americans in the top, 10 there for fastest times up the climb. Pretty cool to see. A fun day to watch that, the whole stuff. Let's do some quick, how about some interviews? And then we could be done. And then we have just, the one day left. A lot of disappointment for Thomas, but let's hear what he says.
Grand Tour since 1989. Le Mans and Fignon. You must be gutted.
Yeah, but I think 14 seconds is probably better than 4, because then I'll be picking apart even more. So, hats off to Primoz. He had a really good day today, especially with his mechanicals. We deserve that. My point of view just felt, the legs going a bit about Kanaf from the top of that climb, and kind of knew wasn't quite on it. But I think if you told me back in March when I was still like not even racing, then I probably would have taken that. But yeah, it's bittersweet now at the minute. But I think once it sinks in, I can be proud of what I've done, and then the team as well. The team has been incredible all race and prior. We've had a really good atmosphere, and I'm gutted for them as much as myself, really, to not finish it off. But
I mean, your illness at the beginning of the year and the antibiotics, is amazing that you've got where you are, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, like from training camp end of December till Feb, I probably had just as much time off as I was training, so it definitely wasn't ideal. But yeah, as I said, I stuck at it and stayed strong mentally, and kept doing everything to try and be at my best here, and well, I pretty much achieved that, and so I can be proud of that, but it's still quite hard to take at the minute.
Yeah, your bike change was butter smooth. The helmet change was butter smooth. Was there anything you could have done differently?
No. I think...
Okay, this is the problem with the Euros. Okay, it was not butter smooth. The bike change, due to the helmet, it was not butter smooth. I had a problem too with Adam Blythe. Okay, he's out there. He's deciding he's going to be journalist or whatever, an interview. But he's been such buddies with Geraint Thomas that it makes it problematic. You can't even give a good answer. Oh, everyone loves you. And it's like, yeah, okay, fine. And you're his buddy. I get it. But, you're a journalist now. If you want to be, you're kind of a monkey.
With that, as the gap was, just pretty much did a better ride today. And as I say, just legs just weren't quite, didn't quite have it at the end.
And I feel bad for him in a sense. Good for Roglic, but here we go.
Yeah.
Primoz, massive congratulations. Is this the biggest emotional roller coaster you're going through after?
I guess so, for sure. I mean, it's it's just home. I spent my whole life here a couple of days away in Slovenia with the ski jumping. We slept in Slovenia the day before. You see, is how much crowd is around, the energy they give you, and it's just something I will definitely remember for the rest of my life.
A triple world champion, Olympic champion, time trial, now Giro winner, maybe the best winner of your life? The best win of your career?
Yeah. You never, I never want to judge this is, I don't know, which win is more or less. But for sure, the energy or what I get today, I will remember for the rest of my life.
You never panicked, even with the chain problem?
Yeah, I didn't plan it, but it happened, and I was enough of a mechanic by myself that I put the chain back on and continue.
How it was in your head at this moment, how you kept your focus at this moment when the chain dropped and you lost much time? How did you do it? How was it in your head? How you managed this moment when...
Not a big deal, at least I get a bit of rest, because I was standing there.
You really thought this morning you could pull that off, you could go to win, because so far G has been dominating. You really expected something like that this morning?
At the end, I didn't really care about the result. When I knew what will be here, it's really my ground here, and it was just that I want to come here and really enjoy every meter of today, and it worked, it was enough.
But Primoz, it's a revenge after the Tour of 2020, or it's nothing to do, or it's another story?
Yeah. Yeah, every situation is a new situation, I would say, but it went well, and I really enjoyed it.
Primoz, we saw you emotional, no? Cheers, it's like emotional moment, big moment.
Yeah. It's incredible, you have a goosebump. To see all these people, all this support, like I said, at the end, no matter of today's result, I would definitely remember this day for the rest of my life.
Anybody told some words on the podium to you? Anybody?
Was on the podium with you? I don't really remember much. For sure, congrats.
You were the only one to test the course this morning by bike.
Sorry?
You were the only one on the bike this morning to test the course. What did you think?
Obviously, I didn't did the whole climb, but the last 2.5K and before a bit. It's steep, it's hard, and definitely I already saw the last 2.5K, so I knew that actually finish for me is after the steep part, and then I will just go with the fence for the last part.
Is it because it is so close to Slovenia, one of the best days of your life?
I would agree.
These are great questions. Come on, people, ask him something
else. Why are you so calm this whole Giro, because you know this would be the ending?
You always hope. A lot of things happened in between that I didn't really like it. I had quite some problems. We just continue fighting. Being positive, believing in it, definitely I believed in the today's day that is the decisive one, and we did it.
There's also a press conference for us.
Ask him about pacing. He said he went out too fast and planche de Belfi. How did he take that into account now? Some other little things. It was interesting that he did do a little recon. He was getting ripped on that from GCN. For doing recon going out there, because that was a problem that he had ridden too hard on planche de Belfi. Well, then it works out. So who knows? We'll leave it at that. Is there any other interviews? Let's do Luke Nissen and then we'll be done. He had a good
tour. Seems like you have finished in the top nine. With all you've been through before this Giro, you come in, you were in Maglia Rosa, now you are finishing in top 10 in the GC. What does this mean to you, mate?
It's hard to explain. It was.
It's not that hard.
Before the Giro, I didn't expect anything. Things didn't go well before. I came with the Giro with no expectations. I just wanted to race and hopefully get through the Giro in a good way. Stage four, getting the pink. And since then, turning it into a ride for a GC, which was not a plan, and I for sure didn't expect there was a possibility. And it has been a tough 3 weeks, but also really nice with the team and everything. And also then to what it seems like finish with a top 10 is, it's just considering my expectations before the Giro, it's hard to describe.
How was it for you personally to move? There's a mechanical story. Thanks a lot, Andres. Thanks.
Thank you.
Wow, that was interesting. Let's finish this. Okay, so the mechanical happens of Roglic on the TV as they are interviewing him, and everyone's just like, oh, shit. You'd think he would have maybe have died. I'm going to go right back to the results. We're going to break down real quick, just overview of all the positions of everybody. There we go. So Roglic obviously wins. Let's see. Did anybody DNS? Nothing. No, everyone made it. And I think the time cut was like 50%. So they made it pretty easy. Cavendish comes in here only 12 minutes back. How close could you come? Maybe 12 minutes. I don't know. GC, we see that Roglic pops up into first, 14 seconds. This guy, same here, this amateur, I don't know what his name is. He did a thing of the closest races in tours. Where'd it go? I think it's in my bookmarks. There we go. You can't see it here, but I can. So it's 6 seconds in the 84 Vuelta. And then we had 8 seconds in the 89 Tour de France. We know that one, Greg LeMond. The 11 seconds in the 48 Giro. 11 seconds in the 74 Vuelta. 12 seconds in the 74 Giro. 13 seconds in the 55 Giro. And 13 seconds in the 56 Vuelta. So right probably next to that is 14 seconds in the 2023 Giro d'Italia. Okay, so Roglic, obviously we move up and down. This is the Sepkus moves up. Anybody else really going up big time? Jay Vine moves up the spot. Larry Warbass goes down. Bartók up two. No one with real big positions. Eddie Dunbar down two. It's one of the bigger moves. Down three, Jonathan Lastry, but who cares about that? It's too far out. Take a look quickly at all our American contingents did well today. We had... let's look at it on the stage. There we go. 6th, 7th, 11th, 24th. So I wonder if Joe Dombrowski's was wrong. 34th for Barta, because they had Joe Dombrowski up there pretty close for quite a while. And it shouldn't have been. So I wonder, he got moved down. So maybe he didn't have quite the day that it looked like he was going to have at one point. Points jersey. Okay, let's look at all the nations now because we need to get back to Charles. Jonathan Milan, he's going to probably win that tomorrow. We'll take a look and predict of who's going to win the overall for that in the stage. Thibaut Pinot holds on to the climber's jersey. G would have really needed to have just win it outright today. Roglic moves up 10 places because of the win. Sepkus moves up 18 places because of his great time. And they took the time on the climb. So it was just that. So first and second for those two going there. The youth is going to be held easily by João Almeida. 4 minutes back, though, is Arensman. He had a good race. And the team, it looks like Bahrain is going to win that. So we will look at the stage profile. That was today's. Look at tomorrow's into Rome. I mean, it's just down there, and then they go. It's like the Tour de France into Paris. Although I heard this year they're not doing into Paris, so it'll be interesting. Anyway, it's pretty flat, little sprinty. Who's gonna win? I mean, you're gonna have a chance for Cavendish to finally get a chance for him to maybe get a win. He's got to have a lead out. He's got to stop whining. And that's the problem when you don't have at least, he did that the other day, which is, you know, when you're a sprinter, sometimes you come into this and you don't have a team helping you. You try to jump on a sprinter's train that you think is going to do that. The problem is they have different ideas. I've done this before. I've jumped on a national champion in a crit before, thinking that he's the wheel to go for. And for some reason, he's not that interested in this race. And you're like, well, damn. So, you know, it's always best to, and you saw this with Jayco, Michael Matthews, which is like, you know, we're not the best here, but we're going to do our race. We're not going to depend on someone else. You have one or two guys lead you out. DSM did that last time. Jonathan Milan starts his sprints too far behind. He's got to get better positioning and he needs to be up front because he has the best kick for it. If he decides that he's going to fix it in Bahrain, they could go all in for him tomorrow. And then maybe that'll happen. Other than that, you've got... You know, DSM riders, Danese, Michael Matthews, Cavendish. Cavendish is the one that we just haven't seen, you know, other than when he fell and threw his bike across the line. He hasn't really done much. I expect him to, because he just does. He comes through. He's finished the race. He's going to be there. I mean, I expect him, if he does something, his team, come on, you guys, just tomorrow. Dombrowski lead you out from 200. That's what we want to see. Get him up there. Make him give him a chance. I'm kind of pulling for him, even though I'm not a huge fan of him in general. But that's going to be my thing. Otherwise, I think Jonathan Milan is the one to do it. He's got still that best kick. And if he actually puts himself in position, he should be able to do it. Anyway, thanks, everybody. One more stage to go. Like and subscribe. Share the show. Do all those fun things and get back on your bike. I did a ride this morning. Things are going well. Later.